make good news private. They want to tell us that we mustn't talk about the good news, but in fact it actually should be made private, a purely private affair. Now, our story this morning is from Acts chapter 5, and it's about Peter and some other apostles who had some really excellent, excellent good news. So you're going to need your megaphones again. Because, Simon, if we can have a slide again. We have to remind ourselves of what that good news was. And when we know the answer, you can shout it out. So this story is about Peter. He came from Capernaum. So what's his good news? That Capernaum United had won the league. Was it A or was it B? Peter's mother-in-law had got well again. Or was it C? Peter's mother-in-law had got sick again. Or was it D? Jesus alive. What do you think?
Jesus alive.
I think that too. Thank you very much. Now, the problem is that Peter and the other apostles came across some very important men. And they were called, one was called the high priest Caiaphas. So he was a very important man. And he had lots of friends, and they formed something called the Sanhedrin, which was like the parliament, the governance of the Jewish nation at that time. So Caiaphas, the high priest, and his mates came to the Sanhedrin. And they had a problem with Peter and the apostles. Now, what colour would you give jealousy, do you think?
Green.
Green, yeah, green. Green, traditional. So, funnily enough, I have something green here. So here, here's the high priest Caiaphas, looking high priestly. I'm sure you agree. And slightly jealous, because he was very jealous. And the problem with jealous people is that they start behaving a bit like bullies. And bullies tend to puff themselves up so much that they get even bigger and stronger than us. And then they become really quite scary, don't they? Right. So here we have Caiaphas, the bully, very, very jealous, being quite scary. And I'm wondering when we're going to find out. Oh, yes, that's right. Okay, hang on. There you go. That's the completion of Caiaphas. There he is, wearing his priestly robes. Almost forgot the priestly robes. Here we go. Here's scary Caiaphas, being a bit of a bully, being very green with envy. Now, he wanted the apostles to keep the good news private, didn't he? He told them to put their megaphones away and not speak about the good news at all. And in fact, he had Peter and the other apostles arrested and thrown into prison so that they wouldn't be able to speak about the good news anymore. The good news would be private. And Ellen is going to come and read to us the first part of our reading. And she's going to find out. So we're going to find out what happened after naughty Caiaphas threw them in prison.
So, Acts 5, verse 17. The high priest, Caiaphas, and all his friends became very jealous. They took the apostles and they put them in jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and led the apostles outside. The angel said, "Go, stand in the temple and tell the people everything about this new life." When the apostles heard this, they obeyed and went into the temple early in the morning and continued teaching.
Thank you. So, sorry, just changing Caiaphas. Right. Now, what did the angel want Peter and the apostle to do then? What did he tell them to do? Tell the people. He wanted the good news to be made public again, didn't he? There you go. It's always going to be on the side. So the angel told Peter and John and the other apostles to go and make the good news public again. But the next day, Caiaphas came back, and he called another meeting of his important friends, And he was feeling quite smug at this time, hence the smile. You see, he's feeling a bit smug now. So he's feeling a bit smug. And he called another meeting with his friends. And that when he arrived, he thought that Peter and the apostles were still in jail and keeping the good news private, didn't he? And they thought he might gloat a little bit. So he decided to have Peter and the apostles brought to the Sanhedrin, brought before him, to actually ask them a few questions. So Ellen's going to read the second part now, and we find out what happened next.
So when the high priest and his friends arrived, they called a meeting of the leaders and all the important elders. They sent some men to the jail to bring the apostles to them. But upon arriving, the officers could not find the apostles, so they went back and reported to the leaders. They said, "The jail was closed and locked, and the guards were standing at the doors. But when we opened the doors, the jail was empty." Hearing this, the captain of the temple guards and the leading priests were confused and wondered what was happening. Then someone came and told them, "Listen, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple teaching the people."
Thank you. So the officers went back to the temple and they brought back the apostles, brought them back to the high priests. And what the high priests said to the apostles was very interesting. Because what they said is, what you're teaching out there in the temple doesn't sound like good news to us. In fact, it sounds like bad news. Now, I wonder why that is. Partly, it was because they thought that the bad news made them sound guilty. Because Peter and the apostles were saying, "You put Jesus to death." So they didn't like to be made sound guilty. But they thought, but it's more than that. Because they didn't like to hear this news. Because although they knew that sometimes they've done something wrong, although they knew they'd done something actually wrong, nobody likes to admit that, do they? So they thought that was bad news, being told that they'd done wrong things. And secondly, they thought it was bad news because even if you accept that you've done wrong things, you don't like to hear the news that actually you can't do anything about it at all. But what Peter and the apostle was saying, the good news that they were talking about, was that, yes, you've done wrong things. Yes, you've done more wrong things than you can possibly ever imagine. But actually, God has sent a rescue. God has sent Jesus to die and to rise again so that you can be rescued before God, who cannot put up with the bad things that we do. So they said, it's good news. But the Sanhedrin said, no, that's bad news. Because A, we don't accept that we've done anything wrong. And B, we think we can help ourselves anyway. We don't want your rescue. And that was true for them. And that's true for many, many people today as well. If they accept that they've done things wrong, they don't want to accept that they can do nothing about it. That only Jesus can save them. So therefore, a lot of people today say, what you're teaching Christians is bad news, and it should be kept private, like that. And people hear that all the time, in newspapers and on the television, and mums and dads will hear it at work, among their colleagues, and children sometimes will often hear that at school as well, that what you're saying is bad news. We don't want to hear you saying we've done wrong things. We don't want to hear you saying that only Jesus can rescue you. And it should be kept private. We don't like what you're saying. So at this point, we as Christians, and Meredith as she grows up, will be faced with a very important question. And the very important question is this: do we obey those human beings who are telling us that this is bad news that should be kept private? Or should we obey God, who says that this is good news that should be made public? That is the question. And that's the question that all of us and Meredith face in our lives. Now, Ellen's going to read what happens next.
The soldiers brought the apostles to the meeting and made them stand before the leaders. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in that name. But look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are trying to make us responsible for this man's death. Peter and the other apostles answered, "We must obey God, not human authority. You killed Jesus by hanging him on a cross, but God, the God of our ancestors, raised Jesus up from the dead. Jesus is the one whom God raised to be on his right side as leader and saviour. Through him, all people could change their hearts and lives and have their sins forgiven. We saw all these things happen. The Holy Spirit, whom God has given to all who obey him, also proves these things are true." When the leaders heard this, they became angry and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel stood up in the meeting. He was a teacher of the law, and all the people respected him. And he said, "Stay away from these men and leave them alone. If their plan comes from human authority, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop them. You might even be fighting against God himself." The leaders agreed with what Gamaliel had said. They called the apostles in, beat them, and told them not to speak in the name of Jesus again. Then they let them go free.
Okay, so Gamaliel was a very wise man. In fact, he was an old teacher of Paul's. So Paul, who comes along later on in the book of Acts, he had actually been taught by Gamaliel, this man. And he was quite a wise man. He sat up and he said, "Hang on a minute, if this is completely false, completely made up, then it's just going to disappear, it's going to go away. If it's from God, however, then it won't go away." And maybe even 2,000 years later, people would be sitting in cold, derelict buildings, worshipping God just because of this message. Who knows? But it won't go away because it's from God. And the wise words of Gamaliel convinced Caiaphas and all his other friends. And like many bullies, he showed that actually he was just full of quite a lot of hot air. And although he still had them beaten and thrown out and told to keep the good news private, what do you think Peter and the other apostles did? Adam's going to complete the story.
The apostles left the meeting full of joy because they were given the honour of suffering disgrace for Jesus. Every day in the temple and in people's homes, they continued teaching the people and telling the good news that Jesus is the Christ.
Right. So we're going to come back to, in a little while, what they were actually teaching. But for the moment, we see that every day in the temple and in people's homes, they continue teaching the people and telling the good news that Jesus is the Christ. They carried on making the good news public. Good news, public. And that's a challenge for us, for all of us who know this good news. The good news is all. The good news needs to be made public. We need to tell others about the good news that we have. We are now going to sing another song. Simon, if you can have the slide again. I wanted to just go back a little bit and just look at exactly the message that Peter and the other apostles were preaching. So these are the words that he said before Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. And it's a three-point sermon. Now, I'm a preacher. I love three-point sermons. So this is a three-point sermon. And I just wanted to quickly run through those 3 points. So I'm just going to read those words out. Peter and the other apostles answered, "We must obey God, not human authority. You killed Jesus by hanging him on a cross, but God, the God of our ancestors, raised Jesus up from the dead. Jesus is the one whom God raised to be on his right side as leader and saviour. Through him, all people could change their hearts and lives and have their sins forgiven. We saw all these things happen. The Holy Spirit, whom God has given to all who obey him, also proves these things are true." So see that? There's an eyewitness account. Peter and the apostles are saying, we saw these things happen. We saw Jesus die. We saw Jesus rise again. We are eyewitnesses to that account. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit tells us it's true as well. But let's have a look at these three things that they say about God in this three-point sermon. So firstly, we have, the first point is God raised Jesus from the dead. Now I need a volunteer just to come and hold this for me. It's perfectly safe. Oh, well done. What's your name?
Mafferty.
Sorry?
Mafferty.
Mafferty. That's a nice name. Right, okay. Now, do you know what you're holding? It's a stick of dynamite. Now, would somebody like to tell Mafferty what a stick of dynamite does? It goes bang. It explodes. Are you feeling safe? Now, don't worry, this one's not true. Okay, so here's a stick of dynamite, but it's perfectly safe. And this bit is called the fuse, you see. Somebody has to light the fuse. Now, do you know how you know when the fuse is lit? No, it's because it starts to glow, but you'll be fine. So as long as this fuse doesn't start to glow, you'll be fine, okay? Right. Just keep holding that for a moment. Now, why is Mafferty holding a stick of dynamite? I'm sure it's perfectly safe. Because in the book of Philippians, Paul says that the power of God was used to raise Jesus from the dead. Now, the power of God, the word for power there in the original Greek that Paul was writing in is dunamis. Now, dunamis is the word that we get the word dynamite from. So in other words, the word power is dynamite. It is a whole lot of power, a very, very powerful thing, a very, very powerful thing that might go bang if that fuse starts to glow. That is what God used to raise Jesus from the dead. And do you know what? Philippians also says that God will use that very same dynamite on us if we believe in Jesus Christ. He will raise us from the dead too. So God raised Jesus from the dead, and one day he'll do the same for us. Let's have a look at the second point. Second piece of good news that should be made public is that God raised Jesus to his right side. Thank you very much. Oh, I think they're enjoying watching you, actually. You want to stay there for a little bit? You can do if you want. You're looking a bit nervous. Shall I take it off you? Thank you very much, Mafferty. Right. I'm sure it'll be okay. We'll just leave it there. It'll be perfectly safe if it goes off. Right. Second point is God raised Jesus to his right side. Now, who sits at the right side of people? Now, just Prince Harry. This week, also announced, I love the royal family. You can have hundreds of sermon talks and talk illustrations from the royal family alone. I mean, what would you do without them? Prince Harry, this week, announced that he was going to employ, in the words of the newspaper, a right-hand man. Now, what does a right-hand man do? Protects? What else?
Deals with the media.
Deals with the media.
Trusted jobs.
Trusted jobs. That's a really good one. Yes. Thank you. I'm going to stick with that one, trusted jobs, because the right-hand man has got to be a trusted person, somebody you really, really trust, somebody who's done a good job for other people before, somebody who's done a good job for you before, and somebody who's going to do a good job for you in the future. That's your right-hand man. Now, the Bible says here, Acts, Peter said, God raised Jesus to God's right sides. That meant that Jesus was God's right-hand man. Now, I wonder why Caiaphas thought that was bad news. I think it's bad news because he was a priest. And priests in those days thought, no, I'm the right-hand man of God. And you can get saved. You can have your sins forgiven. You can have your lives changed because of me, the priest. So Caiaphas thought that was bad news. But actually, lots of people today, whether they're priests or not, think, actually, no, I'm God's right-hand man because I've lived an okay life. I've not done too much wrong. I'm much better than the other guy down the street. And I'm okay. And the job that we think we can do is convince God that we are okay enough. And actually, if we hear that only Jesus is God's right-hand man, then that might sound like bad news for us. So God raised Jesus to his right side, and Simon, so that our hearts can be changed and our sins forgiven. That's what Peter tells the Sanhedrin. Jesus is raised to God's right hand so that our sins can be forgiven and our lives and our hearts can be changed. Now that is good news that needs to be made public. The third point of this three-point sermon is this. God gives us the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit in the Bible is a counselor, somebody who helps, somebody who gives advice, a helper, a comforter. And God gives the Holy Spirit to all those who obey him, says Peter. And Meredith has the help of David and Rosie, and Duncan and Helen, as she grows up to become a Christian. She has their help and their prayers. But we all have their help. We have God's Holy Spirit who comes and lives within us. And he can change our lives and prove that what Jesus has done is true. So the Holy Spirit proves that all these things are true. And the biggest proof of all is our own changed lives and the way that our own hearts are changed by God's Holy Spirit.